Good morning, Emmanuel. I would like to welcome you all to this morning service at Emmanuel and Highworth, which is part of the Swindon Old Partnership of Churches. I would also like to welcome any visitors who are amongst us this morning for the first time. Please make yourselves known to the stewards or to me after the service. And special welcome to Jeff Rhodes, who is coming from Bath Church, and you'll be leading the service this morning. And most of us, I think, we are familiar with Jeff, and I did see him a lot during the Easter services at Christ Church. So I think this is an important thing because it's part of the partnership, which we are all together in this. And greetings to those who are listening through recording. I hope you feel part of Emmanuel. The Bible readers this morning are Pam Weston and Andrew Eno. The Bible readings will be taken from the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings, and the New Testament readings are from the book of Luke and Galatians. And the prayers of intercession will be led by Liz Gibney. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news. I've got two additionals to make. The first one, there will be tea and coffee after the service in the hall. And the second announcement is that on 3rd of August, Reverend David Downing, the Southwest moderator, will be preaching here at Emmanuel. And we intend to having a bring and share lunch after the service, which will enable us to know David better. We are planning to have a question and answer session, which is going to start at 11:30 with coffee, then lunch after. David will be here for a short time, and you'll be looking at Emmanuel closely over the next year or so, helping us to replace Robert. And this is an important visit, the beginning of a new relationship. So please come along and also get ready with your questions to ask him. Liz Gleed will be coordinating the lunch. Could you please speak to Liz to let her know what you can bring? I'll now light the Christ candle and the peace candle as we prepare for the service.
Good morning. It's good to be with you today. And I didn't realise God moves in a mysterious way. Just how appropriate after that introit my first reading is for you this morning. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, praises to your name. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we gather together today to celebrate your love for us. Grant that as we meet, we may be aware of your presence. Hear your message to us in what is said and what is sung, but above all, as we sense your presence, may we truly worship you and rejoice to sing your praises. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And indeed, we rejoice to sing Jesus' praises. 261, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Let us pray. Mighty God, that hymn reminds us of your creating power and your redeeming love. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you as we remember that you brought us the light of God's love into our world when you were born in a stable. You came to us, lived in our world, showed us love and proclaimed the truth. By your death and resurrection, you opened up the kingdom of God to all who believe. Lord Jesus, we bow in praise before you. Through all ranks of creatures, God our Father, our Creator, we worship you as we remember that before time began, you spoke the word which brought order from chaos and gave this world light. And in and through that light, you brought all life and colour, movement and variety, the myriads of creatures we know. Father God, we bow in praise before you. And our hearts confess him, King of glory now. God, the Holy Spirit, we worship you as we remember that it is by the light of your truth that we are able to praise Jesus, to understand love, and to know that we have a place among the people of God. Holy Spirit, help us to use our talents and abilities in God's praise and service. Holy Spirit, we bow in praise before you. Mighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, our God, we worship and adore you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's lessons are taken from the Common Lectionary, and they include the word but very often through them, all of them. Usually when I use the lectionary, I only take one lesson from it. Today you'll be pleased to know I'm using three of them, and our readers are going to be very pleased as well. So we have our first reading. Thank you, Pam.
The Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, on page 346. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, although a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give life or death that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted by the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But when Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hands over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored, like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pam. And now we have an anthem from the choir. The choir is going to sing the anthem, "A Setting of Jubilati" by Charles Stanford. "Oh, be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands."
Thank you.
Thank you. When I was very young, a little lad, I read Biggles books. Any of you older gentlemen here remember Biggles books? Yes, I thought they might. Yeah. And at one time, Biggles told one of his followers off, Ginger, for saying the words after some incident, "Oh, if only." And Biggles said, "It's the most useless two words in the English language." But today, you'll notice the buts today. Today, when I read through those readings, the word "but" sprang out at me as being, also something that we use a lot in the English language. That story of Naaman, which we just heard, was wonderfully well told. It's a story of conversion. Conversion actually comes finally in verse 15, and we didn't get that far. The moment when the foreign potentate, healed of his diseases, confesses, "Now that I know there is no God anywhere in the world except in Israel." And it's in this story, I hope you noticed as we went through, it's unnamed and apparently unimportant people that play significant parts. The little Israelite slave girl who goes and tells with compassion for her master to his wife the possibility of him being cured. Then the servants of Naaman who persuade him to calm down and take the prophet's advice. If he hadn't been listening, the healing would never have taken place. It seems there are no unimportant people after all. And that's useful for us to remember today. The story opens, of course, with a tremendous build-up for Naaman. He's the commander-in-chief of the army. He's a great man, highly esteemed, a mighty warrior. He's won many battles, presumably some of them against Israel itself, because they've got an Israelite slave. And then comes the negative "but," the fly in the ointment. But he was a leper. Unlikely to have been full-blown leprosy. Perhaps some disfiguring and painful skin disease. Whatever it was, has made his life a bit of a misery. And he's anxious to get rid of it. This was the objectionable "but" that overshadowed his career. Naaman, through his touchiness, quickness to take offence, very nearly missed out. His national pride. "Aren't the rivers in my country better than the mess in Israel?" The story is a reminder that healing comes from God. But it is often mediated through humans. Today, our healers are largely health workers of varying kinds, from the people who sweep the floors to the surgeons that fix our diseases and all the rest of it. Not to mention those who are doing the studies to get us new cures. But in Naaman's place, the initial curer was this Israelite girl, the persuasive servants, and of course Elijah. But we are humans, individually and en masse. And today, we still retain our buts and refuse to pocket our pride. That means we may miss out on many healings, opportunities, personal, communal, national and international. We humans always put in buts. We're going to try to follow that thought now as we ask for forgiveness and then for healings in this world. Let us pray. Father God, the story of Naaman strikes home. It reminds us that we, like him, can be proud and headstrong. We resist the promptings of those around us to help us seek and do what you would wish us do. We keep on wanting to go our own way, asking why we can't do this or that instead. Father, forgive us. For the sake of Jesus, forgive us our stubbornness, our self-centeredness, as we remember our mistakes of this past week. Lord, help us now to accept that forgiveness and grant us your Spirit so that in the future we may find and do your will. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And our next hymn takes us into the thoughts of prayers for the future and for the nations that are still warring. 620, for the healing of the nations.
A few weeks ago, I was sitting outside overlooking a huge, beautiful valley which had some heavy orographic cloud rolling in across the opposite peaks. Amongst the trees, fields, and buildings, my eye caught the gleam of what seemed like a small white cross. Not everybody would have noticed it, but to me, it was a reminder of the light of God shining in the world, even though the dark clouds threatened to obscure the beauty. We may not think we see God, and yet he is ever present and is the light by which we see. So this morning we pray for the dark places in our world, hoping that God's light will break through. Father, open our eyes to your love, to see your hand at work when others see only darkness. We pray for those around the world who live under the shadow of war or conflict. In particular, we think of Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel, and Iran, although we know there are many more places who suffer likewise. We remember those who are displaced and have nowhere to call home. We remember those who are hungry and wait to be fed, for those without income or means to care for their families, for those who have lost loved ones amongst the devastation and see no future. We pray for those who stoke conflict and for those who are forced into it. We pray for those who have the power to bring peace and for those who desire to achieve it. We pray for those who profit and pray for God's light, that we pray that God's light might shine on them, not in order to shame, but to enable healing. We pray for the world in which we live, from the brightness of morning to the deep darkness of night, from the height of the shining summer to the sometimes long and bleak winter. Help us to love the life around us and to do our part in caring for the environment. We pray for those who have greater control over using the world's resources, the politicians, the industrialists, the wealth makers, the environmentalists and scientists who search for new technologies to preserve the planet and the universe beyond. We pray for our town of Swindon, for the council, for our MPs, for our hospital, for our care homes and our churches. In particular, today I would like to pray for Swindon Food Collective, the volunteers, the organisers, and those who find the need to use the facility. May we be a welcoming and empathetic town. We pray for our ministers in the partnership and their families. We pray for our elders and for those who week by week work to enable us to meet in this place. We pray for our congregation that it may grow and flourish and be a beacon of light and hope. We also pray for the other congregations who meet in this place. We remember those who are sat near us and those who are no longer able to come to church. We also remember those who have gone before us. Shine a light on the way ahead for your people. May we have the eyes to see and the imagination to hope for better. God of light, shine into the dark corners of our world. Shine into the places we would rather keep hidden. We remember the way we live our lives. We pray for those who find it difficult to live honestly and with kindness. We pray that you might weave thoughtfulness, integrity, and love into our lives, and also into those who have been deprived of unconditional love, have not had stable upbringings, and have struggled to find positive role models. We pray for those young people who have been emotionally or physically damaged. We remember Swindon Youth for Christ, who attempt to inspire and love the young people with whom they interact. You, Lord, are the ultimate parent. Help us to look to you. Shine your light on us. Show us the way. We remember families and friends. As the saying goes, you can't choose your family. But Lord, help us to be respectful of those with whom we struggle. We pray for families which may have fractured, for stepchildren and parents, for children estranged from their birth parents, for grandparents who see little of their grandchildren, for brothers and sisters who have become strangers. We pray for people with whom we struggle to understand, for those we love and those who remain on the outside. We remember those separated by distances. We pray for those who no longer have family. May they feel cared for by those around them. In the silence, we remember those we know who are in need of your love. Let your light shine upon them. God, our Father and Mother, heal the broken relationships and help us to accept that which we cannot change and to live in hope. Blessed be God in shadow and in sunlight, in the desert and at the feast, in desolation and in consolation. May God's goodness and mercy pursue us this day and always. And so it is and can be. Amen.
I have a little note here. The offering? No? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you have given us, including our lives. And from that large offering, we bring to you these gifts and the gifts that we have given elsewhere and the services we give you wherever we can, and ask that you will bless them and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Andrew has a big problem. Thank you, Andrew.
Good morning, everyone. Our second set of readings this morning comes from the New Testament, starting with the Gospel reading according to from the Gospel according to Luke. It's on page 68 on the Pew Bibles, and that will be followed by Paul's letter, a reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, which is on page 188 of the Pew Bibles. the gospel reading. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you. Yet, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And now Paul's letter to the Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted by the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, readers. They were both excellent. So we sing a hymn about the world. Number 599, Christ for the World we sing. The world to Christ we bring.
Thank you.
Yes, most of us have objectionable buts in our lives. Perhaps more than one or even two. Like Naaman, we ourselves, without realizing it, may be standing in the way of its removal, of the problem that we face. Sometimes, like Paul, we have different problems: health, money, physical, relationships, matters that we wish would go away. But we have to learn, like Paul did, to accept it, to make the best of it, discovering as Paul discovered, that God's grace is all we need, that his power is made perfect in weakness, not strength. A difficult lesson to learn. In our gospel readings, there were and are two significant buts. Did you spot them? One negative, the other positive. Jesus sent out the 70 missioners. And as he told them when he sent them off, the harvest is plentiful. What was the but? The reapers are few. First came the good news. There's a heavy crop waiting to be reaped. A golden opportunity not to be missed. And then came the bad news. There were insufficient workers. Christians are familiar with this state of affairs. We seem to be getting more familiar. As our numbers dwindle, we get older and less young ones join us. We sometimes feel very thin on the ground, a dwindling, embattled minority. Our mood is depression. Our sense is one of failure, maybe because we don't recognize the opportunities that are there, and so we fail to seize them. Or perhaps we aren't very good at reaping anyway. Houses have been and are being built all around Swindon. You've all seen them in different places, I'm sure. Anybody not been through Wichelstow lately? What are the Christians of Swindon doing to reap these new fields that are being prepared for us, that are being sown for us? The harvest is there, but where are the reapers? Are we to be the reapers? The negative but, the reapers are few. The positive but comes when the missioners return from where they've been sent. They're jubilant, euphoric almost. They tell Jesus, "In your name, we have seen even demons submit to us." And Jesus shares their joy. He's seen Satan fall from heaven, he tells them, like forked lightning, presumably heading for destruction and defeat. However, he then goes on to tell his disciples, "Don't rejoice about the submission of the spirits. Good though that is, rejoice that your names, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven, which is even better." I saw a little cartoon once. It shows somebody who's just gone up to heaven and he's looking at the angel sitting on the cloud with a computer in front of him. And the angel's saying to him, "Well, what did you expect? A leather-bound, gold-plated book of life." I don't know whether it's still written in heaven. Maybe God's gone over to computers. We'll know one day. Insofar as we are God's servants, the thought that what we're doing will ensure that our names are written on the book of life, that's good. What are we doing about trying to help others around us to get to know? How are we reaping locally? And then we come to the passage of the Galatians, where Paul points out that even though we can deceive other people, we can't easily deceive ourselves, and we certainly cannot deceive God. God sees us as we really are. It's impossible to pull the wool over his eyes. Paul asserts that as an underlying logic of human life. What we have sown in the past determines to a large extent what we shall reap now and into the future. If we sow seeds of selfishness, intent on looking after number one and not caring much about anybody else, we shall reap corruption and not care about anybody. We shall reap death for ourselves. But then comes his alternative. But if you sow in the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. A tremendously positive affirmation. Towards the end of the reading, there's another profound statement pointing to the one thing that really matters. The apostle explains, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. Circumcision was a burning issue in Paul's day. Nothing to worry about nowadays for anyone. Today it's totally irrelevant. But what is really important is that we should be transformed by the Spirit of Christ, changed into new, different people with a fresh aim of helping others. What God really cares about is that his people here, you and me, that we should have loving hearts and devote ourselves to serving others in his name. We must be aware of becoming ecclesiastical, liturgical or theological fusspots, imagining that comparatively unimportant things are of immense importance. We mustn't get our priorities wrong. But, it's a tiny word, isn't it, that can introduce negative or positive thoughts of the relevance of God's kingdom, of the work we're doing. Can it all indicate the negative side of things, the bitterness and disappointment, the disadvantages of life? But it can also indicate the positive side of things. And with God, all things become a positive but. As Naaman discovered, and his skin disease was healed, as Paul discovered, even though his thorn in the side that he suffered, he overcame it, he accepted it, and turned it into a positive. Whatever our situations are, we must learn to put our whole trust in God, in God's goodness, in his mercy. We must learn to put our hands onto the buts, the positive buts. Learn to say, into your hands, Lord, with no buts. God grant that we shall go out to serve him with no buts and return like those missioners sent by Jesus, rejoicing in the success of seeing his kingdom coming. And so we rejoice as we go out from here, taking positive buts with us. God grant we see the results and rejoice. Amen. And so we're going to sing a hymn that is one of rejoicing. 657, Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore.
Thank you.
So we go out from here in the love of God to serve God. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with us all now and evermore. Amen.